1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Kyle, and on this episode of Honest to God, we talk about what's on our minds. From pilgrimages to pineapple on pizza, it's all on the table this week, so sit back and enjoy the ride. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Right. Hello and welcome, everybody. Pumped to be here. You are listening to Honest to God on AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. This is episode number 614 of Honest to God.
615
of Honest to God, and we are super excited to be here. We've got in studio today Christine and Nene, an oldie but a goodie. She's a veteran of the show. She has been on, how many episodes have you been on?
I think this is my fourth
out of 615 episodes.
Yep. That's
crazy. Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, and by oldie but a goodie, I mean in regards to your veteran status on the show. Not calling you old, Nene.
You know it's okay if you did. It's fine.
I wouldn't do that. I would call Kyle old, though. Kyle's here. This is his first ever episode. Yeah. Those of you who are listening, Kyle is approximately 87 years old.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel my age a little bit.
He's in an iron lung. I didn't even know people still use those anymore, Kyle, but you look good.
It was from a long time ago. Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah. But we've got Kyle at house and we have Chewy here today. Chewy, who's rocking the Marty McFly, like puffy fleece, not fleece, but puffy vest. I dig it, man. I like it a lot. So if you, those of you who are not Nene, because Nene just has to give me one, we're going to go through everybody. And if you can give me five facts about yourself, five things that are interesting, tell us your name, and then five other things. And Nene, you just give us one, and it's going to be great. We'll start with Chewy.
I can move my ears. Like, that's...
Shoot, I can see
that. That is really impressive.
Yeah, I don't know how I got it, but...
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, what else you got? Four more.
Four more. So, I speak three languages. I lived in three different countries most of my time down there in Mexico. Okay. But I lived for a semester in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So I am fluent in Portuguese. And the third one is English.
Okay.
I'm living here.
Sure.
I have been living here for 3 years. I prayed a lot for it, and I got transferred in my job. From the Mexico office to the Atlanta office. So,
where are you from originally?
From Monterrey, Mexico.
Okay, so you're from Mexico, then to Brazil, back to Mexico, here.
Brazil was during college, and it was just a semester, so it was short but good to know the culture, and I have some Catholic friends down there, so it was like. Not just with the people in the exchange program, but also like with Catholic communities and people from Sao Paulo. So it was a good immersion.
One of my best friends is from Sao Paulo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. And his mother's Chilean, his father's Brazilian, and he does the same. He's got Portuguese was his first language, and then Spanish, and now English.
Yeah.
I think he's taking Italian immersion classes right now, actually.
Yeah.
He's doing, that's cool.
Yeah, it's around,
I'm not even that good at English, so that's pretty impressive. That's great. What about you, Kyle? What are your five?
Yeah, well, I lived through the Great Depression, first of all. I'm so old. I speak just one language.
What is that?
Sadly. English.
I'm sorry, actually. That's a bad joke. I apologize.
let's see. I was just yesterday we had the last performance of I was in a musical.
What musical?
I was in the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Cool. Who were you? Were you somebody cool?
I was a character named Frederick, who's just like a minor soldier character. He's not the main guy. I had a lot of yes sir, no sir.
Great.
Kind of lines.
Yeah.
But no, it's really fun. It's a very Catholic.
It is. No,
musical.
Totally.
It's crazy. There's Latin, just all sorts of Latin stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff you'd recognize from the mass and stuff.
I'm a big fan of musicals. I did a lot of that growing up and everything. And I really love musicals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. That was like my pinnacle. Yeah.
Who's LeFou?
No one fights like Gaston. Douches likes like Gaston. And a wrestling man, oh, nobody fights like Gaston. Yeah, he's like a sidekick guy.
He's like the crony.
I was the crony of Gaston. Yeah. And I was taller than Gaston. And I had to bend over and do... I've never been able to sing, but I really liked musicals. So they always gave me like the guy with a stupid voice or something.
Oh, nice. So, nice. Yeah, I do. I do think I get typecast as goons and cronies and that sort of character, because I think I have a menacing looking face.
That's kind of a backhanded compliment in a way, though, isn't it?
Like in a way.
I always liked my last name Span. I always liked how it was like this harsh Germanic monosyllabic, like where it sounded like a bad guy from like a Star Trek movie. You know, that they would like yell into the abyss, Span.
Yeah.
So I always dig that.
It's very strong.
I don't know how many that was, but can you give me like one or two more good facts?
Okay. I do Muay Thai.
Heck yeah.
You got something I do?
Really painful elbows then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like solid.
I won't mess with your elbows. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good. That's fun. Geez. One more fact.
What you got? Does anybody else know Kyle?
Mine's running blank.
Good. Nini, give us a Kyle fact. Give us a Kyle fact.
Rock climber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had no idea Christine was going to be here. We just happened to know each other. We went to rock climbing together.
Tennessee, I think.
Producer somewhere in Ben's Tennessee. A big rock climber.
I'm a big rock climber, too.
Rock climbing together.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Let's
can I have an honest to God rock climbing get together.
That'd be great.
That would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Can we do a segment of the show? A rock climbing segment?
Just if we can talk while we're climbing. Yeah.
Just mics up.
Yeah.
Mic us up while we're
GoPros
climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you're able to get the iron lung like up the rock walls at you.
Yeah, but I don't like to let anything hold me back.
No, that's good. Yeah. I'm going to run that joke into the ground just so everybody knows that. I'm just going to keep pushing on it. All right, Nini, you just got to give us one.
I just got a puppy.
Please tell us about the puppy. That'd be great.
So he's 9 weeks old, and he's a golden doodle named Oakley. And look how precious.
Oh, my gosh.
Ben's a golden doodle expert.
I'm a golden doodle.
We breed golden doodles.
We got ours from a breeder in Hiram, and he is precious. All he does is eat and sleep like me.
There you go.
So it's great. It's like my little baby.
He can sleep like you.
I'm a big fan of a dog.
All he does.
We just got our dog back after being gone for Thanksgiving yesterday. I went and I picked up Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff is my one-year-old black lab, and he's the best. I'm so glad to have Jeff back in my life.
I love him already. I miss him. My mom called me earlier. She was like, your dog will not leave the front door near your shoes. I'm like, I'm sorry.
We should ask Janice if we can do an honest to God for dogs, where we just have dogs who sit around here for 27 minutes.
Where it's just me, John Henry, and four dogs in the seat.
I am okay really good with that.
That's a great idea.
That's such a good idea.
That'd be great.
Christine.
Let's see. Five facts. I also speak languages. I speak four. French, Italian, and Spanish.
Not the Holy Spirit languages?
No, I don't speak Latin.
That's one more than you, Chewy. She's got you. What are they?
French, Italian, and Spanish.
Nice.
So my parents are from Costa Rica, Nicaragua.
Lo siento, pero no hablo español.
Hablas bien. You know what?
Los gatos están en la biblioteca. Están muy grandes y sucios. Limpia sus gatos, por favor.
Los gatos están en la biblioteca.
No sé.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So here's another fact. I've been wanting to meet you because I heard you on Pints of Aquinas.
Okay.
And I was like, this guy's hilarious. You were talking about this Mexican story in Mexico.
That's a true story.
Your storytelling is just unmatched. Like, you have great storytelling skills. I was cracking up, and I like literally saw myself there in Mexico, that soccer match that you were talking about. So there's a fun fact. I've been wanting to meet you. And then Janice, thank you for reeling me in. I was like, wait, is this the John Henry from John Bosco Academy? She's like, yeah. And I was like, yes, I've been wanting to meet him.
Thank you, Christine. I'm excited about meeting you too.
Yes. And then, so what's another fact? I grew up here in Atlanta. And I love, I'm obsessed.
That. I don't know, that's a boring fact. It's super exciting to me because I've met like a half dozen people in my life who are actually from Atlanta.
From Atlanta.
Nobody's from here. You
that's
know, they're
true.
All expats.
Well, I'm not actually, I was born in Miami, but I grew up here.
Okay.
So I'm not originally
are you Cuban?
From here. No, Costa Rican and Nicaragua.
Right.
Yeah.
Like half the people at my school are Cuban.
It are
is
they?
Like Little Miami at St. John Bosco.
Really?
There's so many Cubans.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. A bunch of the admin and a lot of our teachers. Yeah.
Interesting.
We had a couple of friends move up, and then they just took everyone with them and their families and all these people.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. So you guys, I'm sure a lot of people speak Spanish. Like they do Spanish classes, Spanish lessons.
No, we only do Latin.
Only Latin. Okay.
Because yeah. we're trying to. You should come, Chewy, and get your fourth, and then you can finally be tied with Christine.
What's the grades? What are the levels there?
It's K through 12.
K through 12, yeah. Okay. Oh, cool.
So all the way. Diapers to diplomas.
Diapers to diplomas. I love it.
We like it. We like it.
And last fact, I'm obsessed with the ocean. It's my beautiful healing grace. I'm a big ocean advocate.
Which is why you moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
I know. Why am I here? I need the coast.
I saw seagulls near the Chattahoochee.
Seagulls.
I think I did.
Listen, I have my eye on my next coast destination.
That's awesome.
Chewy.
And we are going to mix it up because this is a What's On Your Mind episode, right?
What's on your mind?
And we're gonna ask producer Ben for another fun fact.
Another fun fact
I love fun facts. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Fun facts are pretty great. I'm gonna say my favorite color is yellow.
That's not fun at all.
Oh, okay, fine. I just turned 20.
Oh, you
turned 20?
Yeah. Baby.
When?
Last week.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
That's awesome. That's great, Ben. All right. So, I didn't mean for you. I'm really happy.
Thanks for nothing, Ben.
Yeah. Great fact. No, but this is going to be fun because this is going to be our first What's On Your Mind episode. You know, normally our episodes, we have a topic and we get into the topic and we just sort of bounce around for a while. But this one, I don't have a topic. I'm not prepped with a topic. I hope you guys have things that are on your mind because I'm looking forward to a conversation, and we've got some time. So anybody want to volunteer? Anybody have something that's like super on your mind to start with? I bet Nini does.
Why you always got pick on me?
You're just right there. You're straight ahead. I can't help it.
I'm usually over here. Yeah.
Well, right now it's perfect.
It's okay. I don't mind. I have a few things on my mind. Which one do I want to do first? So I'm pretty sure that Ben said if we hit 100 subscribers...
This was a while ago now, and
you said you would shave your legs.
No, yes. He said we hit like 60 subscribers or something. We're 300.
Okay.
See the legs.
Right when we started doing Honest to God, like a week after we started this, we went on the Quest Pledge Drive, and that's where we made like the initial declaration if we got to 100 subscribers that day.
Right.
And then we didn't do it. We didn't get there. So then like a week after, and the episode where like I announced the new goal that we had to reach, we only released that episode like 2 weeks ago as of the airing of this.
Okay, great.
So like that's a fairly new concept on the minds of our listeners, but it will be done. Not this episode, because I don't have the sword.
If only we had a shave kit in the studio.
But hear me out. You're gonna do hear me out.
Nini, I'm scared.
Hear me out. What if I have like all the stuff in here?
What?
Hold on,
we
pause.
Do. Color me pause. Surprised.
Is this the dry shampoo? Hold on, pause.
Man, I'm sorry.
We came prepared.
I can see that, and it terrifies me. I don't come prepared for these things.
I have a razor.
Okay.
And then I have shaving cream.
And it's wrapped.
So you won't.
Also pink.
Also pink, so I mean...
If you want me to shave my legs, I'll shave my legs right here.
I think you should.
Live.
We're
going
to do it right now?
We can do it right now. Okay, cool.
This is the sort of content that people want to see.
Hard-hitting Catholic content here in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm now going to be doing AV, testing microphones, and switching cameras, and shaving my legs all at the same time.
This might be good for you. Do you swim? Do you swim at all?
It's been a while since I've swam something.
Well, you'll be slightly faster.
Slightly faster. You know what? I'll take the speed.
And you're wearing some great jeans, which are good for shaving.
Okay, so, okay, what are we thinking here?
I think you could go straight through the jeans if that razor's sharp enough.
It doesn't look like it. It looks like, how much did this cost me?
It must be like a dollar store.
Yeah.
It's got a whole two blades there. I'll just do like two good swipes. Is that enough?
You know what?
Is that
I'll
enough?
Take it. Okay. It's going to be uneven.
Yeah, but only if we can do like a short or an Instagram thing where you actually just wear like athletic shorts and shave your legs.
I'm okay with that.
Can we do that? Can you get away with two swipes now?
We'll do two swipes now, and then I'll do something more long form for our internet listeners later. And if you're listening on radio, I will put the mic
next
to...
Please don't let anybody hear you shave your legs.
Let's see. Let's see here. All right, here we go.
I think we can get some ASMR going.
Get the camera.
Don't like that I can't see you.
Once again, this is the hard-hitting Catholic
content. Yeah, people I'll put are my after. Socks down a little bit here. Do we have like a napkin or something that I can?
Water? Yeah, we have water.
We
get,
like, there's a tissue.
Don't want razor burn.
I think tissues will work. Yes. Okay.
Tissues and a little bit of water.
I didn't expect to be doing
you
this
spread
this
it.
Evening.
Surprise. Spread it.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Use one of the popsicle sticks. Yeah. Yeah. Spread it around.
Sounds great.
Oh my gosh! Good. All right, here we go. What have we come to here at Honest to God?
I said it. I say do three big swipes.
It's
the Holy Spirit. Yes. The three. We say instead of two, three swipes. Yes.
In the name. All right. Let's see here. Just a little bit of shaving cream.
I don't know how I feel about this.
You know what, John Henry? Neither do I.
It seemed like such a good idea so long ago when we said that on the pledge drive.
This is all your fault.
But now that we're here.
Oh, John Henry, don't worry. You're next.
I'll shave my legs on air, but I got
to
get
what
more
than
120.
What subscriber count do we have to get to?
1,000. We get 1,000.
Thousands.
We're a third of the way there right now.
We're a third of the way. All right. Yeah. Let's see here.
And with content like this, I'm sure those numbers will go up.
You know, honestly, I've never shaved my legs before.
You want to go down. You want to go down.
Okay, down?
Down.
Okay.
Because you don't want ingrown hair.
I've never done this before.
You go with the grain?
All right. I don't like the silence.
Look at there. Hair has come off of my leg.
Beautiful. All right. We need two more.
That was just one.
Two more. Okay. There we go.
Swipe number two.
Good job not cutting your legs.
Oh, there you go.
There's a lot of, I don't know how much of this is actually working because there's a lot of hair coming off.
I see some red on
All right. I'm just going to
get a clean swipe.
And we're gonna auction that razor off. I feel like we can make some pretty
one
good money.
Lucky listener, not auction. We're gonna be doing a giveaway.
That is an awesome idea. All right.
Last one.
All right, here we go.
We go down. Oh, okay. Down.
Okay. Yeah, please.
And I fulfill the contractual obligation.
Now don't throw that away because we are gonna give that away. To
what it'll be just like
it's
this.
So gross. Please don't put that on camera. Nobody needs to see that. I'm gonna actually cover that up. Oh, here we go.
I'm gonna take the camera off me and get myself cleaned up here. Go back to John Henry.
All right, perfect. Thanks. Here's some more tissues for your hilarious. Cleanly
oh,
shaven leg.
I was bleeding. I did cut myself.
Oh, no.
You have some lotion?
Yeah, it's so red.
Tiny littlest bit.
Well,
put some lotion when you get home.
Do us a favor.
Will do, Christine.
If you're listening to this video, shoot us an email at is it young adult?
What's young adults.
It? Young adults.
Plural. I got that
plural,
wrong.
At thequestatlanta.com. Yeah, and let us know that you want Ben's used razor, and we'll pick somebody and let them know live on air.
The first 10 callers will.
Yeah. So that's great, and exactly the kind of thing I thought that we were going to be covering today on What's On Your Mind. Does anybody have
that makes
anything
one of us.
Totally unrelated on their mind, maybe? Any thoughts?
I guess I had, as a topic... So Christmas is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the appropriate time to start putting up Christmas
That's
decorations?
That's an excellent question.
Ooh.
I mean, I have a
right
really, really strong opinion. Are you one of those?
Right.
Do you really?
My brother-in-law actually is, but I kind of agree with him. I'm like,
not even Thanksgiving?
Halloween. Yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Nini? Chewy? What do you guys
Advent?
Say? Advent? Once Advent starts, it's okay?
Yeah.
I say Halloween, but my family does after Thanksgiving.
See that, and that's my opinion. Yeah, that's the rule, and this is doctrine. This is in the catechism. You are allowed to start setting up at 12:01 a.m. the day after Thanksgiving.
But why? So what are the decorations for Thanksgiving?
Pumpkins and turkeys and like cornucopias.
Gourd.
Lots of gourds.
Pine cones.
Well. Mexico Independence Day is in September, and right after that is my niece's birthday. So she said last year, like, there are all the Mexican flags, and then next week is my birthday, and next week we will stand up the Christmas
tree. For Christmas?
She said that.
Yeah, it's September.
That's like Walmart rules. You know how it's like they replace Halloween costumes with it?
Yeah.
No, it hurts me when I see the Christmas trees on the back of cars when it's like 75 degrees out and like early October in Georgia. Yeah, I don't like it. I feel really strongly about it, actually. I think that I'm not calling you a sociopath, Christina Nini, but I'm saying I feel like a sociopath lives in a house when I see Christmas lights up.
In November.
Yes.
Really?
Before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
But you know, then you only get 1 month to really like enjoy the Christmas decorations. You need more than a month.
I feel like we don't put a Christmas tree up in our house until the week before Christmas. We do 1 week before, then we put a Christmas tree up. And we keep it up through the 6th. Right through Epiphany. Yeah.
Oh, that's another question is when do you take him down?
Epiphany.
Yeah. Yeah, Epiphany.
Okay.
7th of January, right after Epiphany, that's when I tear everything down. Yeah. I think that if it weren't for Halloween holding the line valiantly in the battle against holidays, we would have Christmas lights up in like August. I mean, God bless those golf kids for fighting the good fight to keep Halloween.
You know, there's this house in our neighborhood who had like a professional team of people come in, like a service you can hire, come in and do Christmas lights for their house.
I've seen some.
Oh, like, wow.
But like a solid month before Thanksgiving. Like right after Halloween happened.
If you're paying that kind of money, you gotta
get
your...
They didn't, to their credit, they didn't turn it on until after Thanksgiving. They put them up.
Yep. I'm okay with you putting the lights up as long as you don't turn them on. Yep. As long as there's not power going through the lights.
Yeah. Turn on those lights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend who's Australian, and he said, because you know, it's summer. Christmas takes place in the Australian summer. And he said all the imagery is still, it's like 95 degrees outside, and the imagery is still Santa Claus in like a big red coat and all of that stuff. And that always blew my mind. Just like icicles and stuff.
Well, you can see Santa Claus in shorts and cargo.
Yeah.
He said you
see Santa Claus like on a surfboard.
Yeah.
Did they do that in Mexico when you were growing up?
No. I mean, in Mexico, it's like here is northern hemisphere. So
But it's still hot. I mean, they're a lot closer to the equator, right?
Well, my city is, the weather is like Atlanta. It's pretty.
In Monterey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the mountains. It's in the northern side of Mexico. So it's not that hot.
That's an interesting exercise in like American cultural dominance that people in Australia still have like snowballs as part of their Christmas theme.
Yeah. When it doesn't snow.
I'm sure it's snowing there on the 4th of July. That's a joke. I'm sorry. I know they don't celebrate the 4th of July. That's good. Didn't I see a list of listener contributed things too?
Yes. I
wonder if I can find that. Oh, it's in the other room.
Hold on. Yeah. I'll pull it up.
We'll get that in a second. What else we got? What else? Christmas?
So Chewy and I were talking about Advent season, and just the season of pilgrimages, but pilgrimage within your soul, within your heart, Advent. And then we've gone on some pilgrimages that, I don't know, I never used to do pilgrimages growing up. And now I have, and I'm obsessed, and I want to keep doing them every year, like having it as a tradition to do a pilgrimage.
When you say pilgrimage, what do you mean? Do you mean you're going to the Holy Land once
a
year?
Well, I would love to go to the Holy Land. I've never been.
That can be a pilgrimage.
Yeah, I've been on the Camino Santiago to see St. James' remains and, you know, the whole walk through Spain. But then Chewy and I went to Mexico, actually outside of Monterrey. There's a beautiful walk for St. Joseph, Camino de San Jose. Mm-hmm. And it's through the desert and you're walking and you're just contemplating St. Joseph's life and the Holy Family's life. And, you know, really going deep within your soul on that trip. A lot of people opened up with really beautiful things. And just thinking about that in the season of Advent, how busy things can get and chaotic life can get. But really taking a retreat back and going inwards and realizing what the real purpose of Advent is, you know?
My wife and I have been talking about that for a long time. We have young children, and we've been talking about going on pilgrimage. But when I think of pilgrimage, that's why I threw out that example earlier. I think about when I was 19, I went to the Holy Land for a month, right?
Beautiful.
But
that's,
you don't have to do it like that, right?
Right.
You can go on a pilgrimage to the monastery over in Conyers, or you can go on a pilgrimage to EWTN for a couple of hours. And
what's the difference?
Right, exactly.
For me, it's the intention, like, what is your offering? What are you looking for during that period of time that you are traveling, that you are walking, that you are flying, that you're driving to move forward from your life, your typical day by day, to a land of God, a place of God, a shrine, a place of operation or whatever? So,
well, we've even started we'll go and visit the cemeteries in November, right?
Yep.
And we like to go to the Protestant cemeteries because it's like, well, nobody's praying for these guys. They need us more.
That's a good point, yeah.
We always joke because, you know, every time we drive by a cemetery, you know, we all do, may the souls of the faithful depart, the mercy of God rest in peace.
Right.
And they're all, you know, you drive by the little Southern Baptist Cemetery and it's like, wow, we might be the only people who have ever prayed for these people's souls ever. We have to make sure that we do that. And we started calling them pilgrimages because we think that's cool for our kids to not think of pilgrimage as, you know, walking barefoot up Mount Krusevec in Medjugorje or something and thinking more of a pilgrimage. I mean, that is a form of pilgrimage.
Heart. Yeah, it's
you can absolutely do these small things that are just, it's all about the intention. I love that.
Yeah.
On the Camino de Santiago, they say the Camino actually starts when you go home. Like your journey through life is the actual Camino. That's your walk. Cool. It's not the going, walking through Spain and doing all these amazing things. It's actually like going back home and realizing what is it that you took from that walk to continue on with your life.
Right.
You
know? Wow. That's beautiful. Anybody, just on the topic of pilgrimages, does anybody have any good pilgrimage stories? I've got a couple. I thought you raised your hand, Ben. So, okay, here's one. We only have a couple minutes before break, but I think I can throw this out there. I irreparably broke the tomb of Saint Joseph of Arimathea in the Shrine of the Holy Sepulcher in Jerusalem one time. That's a true story. And if the Israeli authorities are listening, good luck extraditing me, and I'll never be able to afford to go back. So the Holy Sepulcher looks like anybody ever been to Jerusalem? Sorry, for starters.
No.
Okay, so you've all seen Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. You remember when they go to where the dwarves had all been killed by the goblin hordes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And they're in the just like endless columns. That's what the Holy Sepulcher looks like. It's just this massive, sprawling church that was built on top of it was built on top of Christ's tomb, as well as the pillar where he was scourged, as well as where he was crucified, all these places, right? It's a huge, huge church, and it's owned by both the Armenian Orthodox, the Catholics, and the Muslims, I believe. There's sort of the three religious groups that control this spot. Mm-hmm. And so you can't do anything. You can't make any changes in this spot at all unless they all agree. And they never agree on anything. So we have a postcard from 1830-something that we bought there. And then we took a picture outside of it. There's still a ladder propped up against a window. That's been propped up against a window up high since 1830 for 200 years, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So we go in. We're walking around. We're in this Syrian chapel that's in there, and it caught on fire like 100 years ago or something, and there's still burn marks everywhere. But the tour guide says, and that over there is the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And all it is this sort of a big cave dug into the wall, right? And so I think it's a good idea, as soon as the tour guide left, to crawl into the tomb. No. I want to go down into the tomb and see whatever's down there. I don't know. She didn't mention it. That's all she said. Hanging on the wall on this ancient wrought iron hook is a lamp. So I grab the lamp and start to crawl.
No way.
And the tomb gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually, like, I've gone really far deep into
this
rocky...
Nobody saw you?
No, there's not. There was nobody around except our tour guide, me and my friends. No. Eventually, I give up and I go back, right? I'm like, I can't do this. And it was, like, so cramped and I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And I was a little claustrophobic, so I back out. And I back out and I'm like complaining to my friends, like, no, I was expecting to just see, you know, a skeleton, but something, give me something. And I reach over that hook and I put the lamp back on. And I think I dropped it from a little bit of a height because it broke off a chunk of wall and the hook, which fell on the ground.
Oh my God.
And the lamp oil went everywhere. It was awful. There wasn't a fire, but it was terrible. And as I was leaving, I had the thought in my brain of, oh yeah. And also nobody's ever going to be able to fix that ever. So if any of our listeners happen to be right now in a Syrian chapel in the Holy Sepulcher, go see if there's a lamp hanging out on the wall.
Well, I'd expect you'd put the lamp on that hook and it'd go down and like a wall would open up.
I know. Wouldn't that have been great?
Yeah.
No, it just breaks. It just breaks and you ruin this beautiful place forever.
And what it broke off?
I kind of like dropped it back on the hook. Like I put the handle over and just sort of let go. God. I was frustrated and it just broke out of the wall. Chunk of rock. Everything.
That's hilarious.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160 The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
This is a What's on Your Mind segment, so we're going to be all over the place. Ben's legs are freshly shaved.
Freshly shaved.
Feeling good today. And when we last left off, we were talking about pilgrimages, and then Chewy, you brought up something off air a second ago.
So for me, pilgrimages started as kids. Our elementary school, they used to do that pilgrimage to the Basilica of Guadalupe, and that was a yearly thing. All families, all students went to the walked from the school to the Basilica, and it was amazing. And that, I think that was the first pilgrimage that I did, but at the end, some opportunities came to my life, and I walked from Querétaro, which is in northern central Mexico, to the Basilica de Guadalupe, like the main one in Mexico City, 200 kilometers. Wow. Right after college, it was an opportunity that some friends invited me over, and I say, okay, let's do that. And it was a week of good camaraderie and spending time seeing others' faith, how a pilgrimage was an expression of faith.
So I often think about Mexico and Catholicism in Mexico the way I think about Catholicism in Ireland or something, right? As this sort of, it's a cultural thing that's embedded, but it's not so much of a, you don't have that many practicing Catholics. It's a situation where everyone, I was in Ireland one time, and I was talking to a guy about being Catholic, and he said, of course I'm Catholic, but I don't know anyone who believes in God. Is it similar to that in Mexico, or is that a misperception that I have?
No, in Mexico, I can tell, and I may be wrong, but in Mexico, we are first Guadalupans, or we're like closer to our Blessed Mother in her advocation of the Virgin of Guadalupe than Catholics. Like, we're closer to her in that way.
Wow. Praise God. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just my own
cynicism. She's our mother. I mean.
Right. No, I mean, that's rightly ordered for sure, but maybe that's just my own cynicism of just sort of throwing my hands up with Western civilization in general, right? It seems like there's this big decay where a lot of the elements, those Christian elements, still just seem like cultural hangers-on for most people. That was how, that's what was my experience growing up.
Yeah, but also, like, if you go down south to Brazil and you see how the African religions came together with some parts of Catholicism, and they do this syncretism to keep to keep both communities engaged, and then get, that's a particular way of Catholicism right there. And then in Mexico, same thing happened. If you see during this season, it is now running till December 12th, which is the day of our Blessed Mother. We see all these dancers that are pre-Hispanic inspired. The way they dress, the kind of dancing steps they use, they dance with drums and some other instruments. So It's the way religion was adapted to.
And you're
our
saying
culture.
That's happened in a good way, not in a.
I think that it's an integration.
Okay,
it's a good way, because it's I think that it's an act of God, or it's a profession of faith.
Right.
Like, but yeah, it's like getting together two things and coming with something
that's beautiful.
Good. Yeah.
I like that.
And it's beautiful. And
would you say the same thing about that from, you said your parents' background was, did you spend any time in Costa Rica?
Yeah, or? I did. I lived there for 3 years in Costa Rica, not Nicaragua. But I don't think it's as on fire with Catholicism at Costa Rica specifically as Mexico. I was very impressed. I've been to Mexico a few times. I, you know, haven't spent that much time there, but every time I go, I'm just so in awe of how beautifully on fire the youth are, young professionals, young people. That's with amazing. God, with Catholicism. I know. Yeah. And I'm just like, where do I find these people here? You know,
right.
I know that we're here, but
that's
I know,
why
I just see
friends.
Like catching on yeah. fire. Like, and in Costa Rica, it's very much like what you described. Like you grow up Catholic. I grew up doing the movements. I grew up kind of like you said, one mm-hmm. foot in the world, another foot in my faith. But I didn't really know why we do the prayers and
sure, yeah.
the mass and everything. And it's like that really much so in Costa Rica. It's kind of just like you are like you're a Catholic for your culture because, you know, you're baptized into it. But I don't really see a lot of that. Like I actually see a lot of what's on the rise there is the new age, like spiritual paganism mm-hmm. stuff. There. Oh, it's everywhere. Really? And I got involved yeah. in it when I was living over there. And then I came back and had this like amazing reconversion to Christ. And I realized,
praise God.
Oh my gosh, I'm going down the wrong path. And it was in Costa Rica that I got involved with all that stuff. So to me, I'm just like, man, where are people being led?
Yeah, I almost appreciate the, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but I almost appreciate the secularization of Western culture as somebody who works with young people, because when everything around you is secular,
yeah.
it's a lot easier to put your arm around a teenager and say like, you want to be like everybody else? Like, come on, there's right. so much more to it. It's almost like you have like the 60s and all the countercultural everything.
Oh,
and
right.
what were they doing? They were abandoning Western values and Christianity and everything to go do their crazy, all these things. Right. And now it's like, well, that counterculture won. Now the counterculture is like, no, I actually care about my faith and I care yeah. about my morality. I want to fight for that. I think that's a really cool, beautiful thing, especially for a teenager, because you can't, there's nothing radical anymore about being an atheist or like, I'm an ex-teenager who doesn't believe in God. It's like, okay, so is everyone involved in every Hollywood movie and the news and everything. So
everyone else in the world.
Maybe
right.
you should look at something else because they want to burn for something, right?
Yeah.
Young people want to burn for something.
You want to have some radical faith. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. That love. Yeah. And I really see it on the rise in Mexico. I mean, I don't know what you know, growing up and being there, but going back and visiting was very inspiring.
For yeah. And back to that point, and I think that it's an invitation that I want to open to anybody that is listening to us, do a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Go visit somewhere. It's not needed to be Mexico and the Basilica of Guadalupe, but those faith experiences, I think, that are encounters with God and that fortifies our faith, and that can be a good opportunity for your family or yourself.
I know a guy who has a lot of property up in North Georgia, and he built what he called a pustinha, which was just a small little prayer house on the side of a mountain. Yeah. And it took about an hour of walking really hard. I'm not sure how he built it up there. I guess it was piece by piece. And you get up there and there's a wood burning stove, and it's a small 10 by 12 room. And there's bookshelves with all these just beautiful spiritual books on it. And you carry your food up there, and it's almost like a hermitage for a weekend or something where you have nothing to do except pray and read and be with our Lord in his creation.
That's
and
good. When are we doing that?
Let's do that. That yeah. sounds great. Well, we've talked about
beautiful.
It. We're building this house on a property, and we have this one really big, craggy, I mean, people out west would call it a hill, but it's a mountain. I mean, it's hard to get up to the top of. And that's what I keep saying. I said, wouldn't it be cool to make it like a spiritual work for us to lug all the stuff up there and build a little prayer house and just say, like, this is our thing. You want to come? You can come whenever you want. Just make the hike up there and bring your food with you and just exist and be. No, well, John the Baptist.
That much more beautiful that you built that, you know, with your hands.
I think it'd be super cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Love that.
All right, Nini, what's on your mind?
Do you want like a funny thing on my mind or just anything?
Well, whatever it is. I'm kind of enjoying the vibe right now. We're doing some good, hard-hitting Catholic-y stuff, but what you thinking?
I had something on my mind. Uh-huh. Oh, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Oh, good. Yeah, that's sort of the other direction, but sure. Liturgically speaking, does pineapple belong on pizza?
It was
yes.
Popped my head. We on the spot.
Is pineapple kosher, do you think?
Is it? I don't know. It's sure. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't think the Jews ever encountered a pineapple.
Are there any non-kosher fruits?
I don't think so. No.
Can you pick a fruit in a way that would make it not kosher?
If you ran it through a pig, I guess.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we are against that here on Honest to God. I'm actually a big fan of pineapple on pizza. Big I like fan. Hawaiian pizza. Ben and I, when we did youth group together.
Yeah. That's what we connected about.
Yeah, we really connected about pineapple and ham on thin crust pizza. Really
I usually swap out ham for bacon.
I'll do bacon. Yeah.
Bacon, I think, is a little like the crisp of it instead of like the, gets a little away from the chewiness of ham, I think. But pineapple, oh, perfect pizza topping in my
opinion. Well, have you ever had like, Mellow Mushroom has like, they'll do like, yeah, I think it's like bacon and pineapple and jalapenos, I think, too. Wow. Get a little sweet and spicy going.
Yeah.
On. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Or like
yeah.
pineapple on burger, like on a burger, if you've ever had that, yes. like a Hawaiian burger. Yeah. That's delicious. No.
All right, y'all. Real talk while we're on food and burgers and weird stuff. Uh-huh. Best burger I've ever had. Sublime Burger in Midtown.
Okay. Sublime Burger.
Yeah, they've got Krispy Kreme donuts instead of the bun.
The bone, yeah.
Blow your mind.
With meat inside.
Yeah, sweet and savory. Oh, I know. I thought so too. I thought so too. That I had it.
I tried that. Ray's Burgers actually here in Roswell. Ray's Burger, or Ray's 2 is what the restaurant is called. It's like R-H-E-Y, like something, some weird spelling of Ray's. I'll have to get it right in show notes. But they do Texas toast instead of buns. And it is like the most like calorically like, dense loaded. Thing. And like you feel terrible eating it, but it is so
the best kind of food.
Good.
That right after you finish it, you just, you know what? And this is, here's some controversy. You know how June is Pride Month? I want to make months for all the other deadly sins. And I want one, I want a gluttony month. There I'm on record. Are. I want a gluttony month.
That's
I want
just
a gluttony
November.
Flag.
As much as you can.
Yeah. And I want it to, and that's the kind of stuff you do. It's like, we should use grilled cheese ham, grilled cheese sandwiches instead of hamburger buns. Like just everything, all the dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. Just do it all.
But now, have you seen they're opening a, or I think they've just opened a Whataburger in Kennesaw.
Yeah.
It's like the first one, like,
today's what? Today is
this whole region.
Today is the first day it opened, and they're opening another one in Woodstock.
Exactly. Really? I'm not sponsored by
They're opening another one in Cumming
as well.
But
this episode of On Scott is sponsored by The Whataburger in Kennesaw.
Yeah.
That's just that one. Not corporate, just that one.
No, they're popping up everywhere, Whataburgers. Good. Never had one, but I'll have to check out a Whataburger.
Whataburger is a great place to evangelize others, which is a good segue to a listener question that we got that I really enjoyed. Yes. And we did. We got I got a couple pages of listener questions here, so it's a lot of fun, and I wanted to make sure that we got to some of these, especially this being a young adults podcast, and we're sort of loose with that definition. I don't remember what we're defining young adults as. Anyone between 18 and 40?
Yeah, what? Pretty much. 40.
I'm 33. Yeah. I still count. Are you really? Yes, nice. What's up? Killer. I keep saying that. Yeah, I got a lot to do. Jesus and Alexander the Great, I think, both died at 33.
Oh,
really? So
oh wow.
I got a lot to live up to there.
Yeah.
But somebody asked this question. I'm interested in hearing about good ways to evangelize in this day and age, especially in everyday situations as a young adult. And we've talked about that in particular on college campuses on this show before. But none of you are still in college, right? We're all post-college. You're still in college, Nene?
I did college a non-traditional way. So okay. I started when I was 23. I actually I'm done with school in July, and I will be walking in December of next year. Congrats. Yes, thank you.
I never walked in college. I didn't walk.
I know.
That would have been cool.
Wheelchair?
Well, I was. That was really good. Okay. Well, listen, you're allowed to make those jokes because you're in an iron lung, but it hurts my feelings a little bit.
Takes one to know one.
I went to college at Franciscan University up in Ohio, and I was only there because they accepted all of my credits when my college shut down, and I was engaged to be married. I had a job lined up, and I was trying to graduate early so I could marry my wife who had already graduated. And so I just sort of rushed through, and I didn't want to hang out in Ohio to walk across the stage.
Valid.
But anyway, so we talked a lot about that from a college perspective, about what they do around campus and things. But for those of you who are young professionals out in the world, right, what does evangelization look like to you? And I want to throw this out there in particular, especially with family members. We talk a lot about how important it is that we evangelize. And I have no problem. I used to do this a lot, go into a bar and sit around talking to people about Jesus. That doesn't bother me at all. That's easy. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of trouble, like I did a few days ago, sitting around a Thanksgiving table, having conversations about Jesus with people that I'm actually close to, family members, right? Parents maybe who aren't in the faith, or extended family, or the new girlfriend of your in-law or something like that. What does that look like, and how do you do it?
Yeah, I guess it gets kind of tricky because I think maybe emotions get a little bit higher in those situations.
Yeah, I feel like we have a greater obligation to these people, and it's so much more difficult for us to have a real conversation.
Yeah,
I can have a deep conversation with a guy I meet on the street, but I just want to talk about sports and the weather with my uncle that I'm sitting next to on the couch, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it. You're right. It is emotionally driven, but I feel like that's disordered. I feel like I need to work on that.
I think some of it's just, providing a witness, like with the way you live your life, you know.
Right.
Freely expressing, like with your family, the way you live your life, and you know you're going to mass and doing all the good Catholic things, and showing how much joy that brings to your life, you know, I think just that witness, you know, probably not instantaneously, but over time, you know.
Yeah, we've said before on the show that I think one of the best ways to evangelize is just to be happy and be honest, right? Mm-hmm. So when people ask you, why are you happy? Tell them. Or when you're you can talk about Jesus and say, well, I just went to confession yesterday and I'm just in a good mood. Or when you're on vacation and everybody's sleeping in and getting up and going to mass, even if you're getting up and going to mass for the sake of evangelizing because it's a Tuesday or something, right? It's like, kind of want somebody to ask me a question. I know I should do this. I said on a show not too long ago, growing in virtue, right? And things like evangelization and all of these things that are good for us and that we need to do. I think a lot of times we get too caught up in the like, but I don't want to. And we're adults and we have to get over that, right? The analogy I made is I'm drinking black coffee from Dunkin' Donuts right now. Thank you, Nini. And
also sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts.
Also sponsored by the Dunkin' Donuts drive through in Roswell.
Is that Roswell?
I don't know. Nearby. But I don't like coffee, or I didn't like coffee at all a year ago, right? And then I started drinking coffee. And the more I drank coffee, the more I started to enjoy coffee. And then the more I realized how I enjoyed coffee, and the more I realized, well, I like my coffee with a little bit of cream or a little bit of sugar, or I like it like this or like that in this situation. And I think it's the same way with virtue. It's the same way with everything from being a man of virtue to evangelizing others to liking classic movies or reading poetry. It's like, I know this is a good thing that I ought to do. And so I'm going to try to do this thing, even though I don't enjoy it right now. And I'm going to grow into that. I don't know. I know that's a lot of word vomit, but that was what was on my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And I think it's a good thing too. I think as you know, people trying to evangelize, I think we can get kind of frustrated when, you know, it's like we're not getting the results that we want. But I think we really need to have just trust in God, because, you know, it's ultimately, you know, I feel like sometimes we kind of almost pridefully, we kind of like
totally
want the credit.
I do.
Like,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
it's I converted them. It's another soul for Christ for eternity. You're welcome, Jesus. You're so lucky to have me.
Yeah. But, but I think it's recognizing ultimately that it's Christ doing the conversion. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just doing, you know, we're instruments of Christ, really.
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, we all know that's true, right? That's obviously true.
It's easier said than done.
But it's hard, right? It's hard to view yourself like that, because it involves putting yourself in the back seat, which we need to know, because so much of being an adult is realizing that we're not the main character, right? And Jesus is right then.
Yeah, right. You know, I think we have this, when it comes to converting and evangelizing family, we have almost an added bonus of time that we're not going to see this person for the next half hour. And that's how much time we have to plant a seed. It's we have the next 15 years before like this person is locked in and like they're so grumpy that they're never going to change their ways. In my own family, we have my mom's sister and her husband, who are wonderful people.
I met both of them.
Love them to death.
I like them a lot.
And they're not Catholic, and they aren't really practicing Christians either. And the husband in particular has had very bad experiences with Catholics and with Christians throughout his life. And I think that's a lot of his stigmatism towards it. And with people like that, it's about being the Catholic that's not bad towards them. And I think like what my parents have done with raising three young men in the Catholic Church, and especially my youngest brother, Jude, who I feel like has benefited the most from their like learned experiences, as being like this young man that this guy wants his sons to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sees that the main driving force behind this kid is his parents and him being Catholic and raised in that Catholic faith. And so it kind of almost like you have to challenge what their conceptions are of us and right. of Christians and of people of faith, to show them that this is not a thing that destroys lives and like makes people angry, but this is something that can build really great people.
Poorly catechized Catholics from a few decades ago have right. done untold damage to the church.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I think especially living somewhere like the Atlanta area where there's not a ton of Catholics and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm spoiled. I run in circles with a lot of really awesome Orthodox Catholic people. Like I go to the school, I work at the school, I'm work at this radio station. I do all these wonderful things where I'm surrounded by awesome people that really feed me and right. keep the fire going. Excuse me. I forget often that I am just like everybody here is the church to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when they meet you and they find out you're Catholic, it doesn't matter if you're having a bad day. It doesn't matter if you don't particularly like them, right? Or if you forgot to put on deodorant that morning or whatever it is. Like you right then are every Catholic. Kyle is every Catholic when he meets some rando who has never had a conversation with a Catholic who actually cared about their faith. And oftentimes we moved into our little hovel that we live in right now, our tiny house while we're building our new house. And I had somebody came and knocked on my door and I answered the door and there were these two guys coming from Crossroads Baptist Church or somewhere, some Baptist church nearby. It was super cool. They were coming to invite me to church and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I love sort of like a little bit of banter with people, especially if they're trying to convert me to something. I said, actually, I'm Catholic and I go to this and you should come to my church. And then I just like went on and I was talking about, and they said at the end, and I didn't even think I did that good of a job of it, but they said, we've never met a Catholic that actually like cared about their faith before. They said, we've talked to lots of Catholics who now go to our church. And we've never met somebody that actually said, no, I got it. You should come to mine. And I realized that, I'm the church to these guys. And I could have really screwed that up and just given them another story about this wayward Catholic, you know?
Not the low hanging fruit anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Don't be the low hanging fruit, ladies and gentlemen.
I was also going to say, I think a lot of times it also means just like putting the invitation out. Even if it's a little scary and you might think, oh, they're going to say no, or no, I don't want to come to church, or no, I don't want to do this program with you. Mm-hmm. But just inviting regardless is huge, because sometimes the seed just needs to be planted in that way.
100%.
And it'll start sprouting maybe, I don't know, years later, or maybe that season, who knows. Mm-hmm. But that's been a big experience with me. I've recently, since coming back deeper in love with my faith, have started to do a lot of more marketing because my business is in marketing. Mm-hmm. I've just done a lot of more marketing around Catholic themes and Catholic faith, and on my blog and social media, and people are like, what happened to you? Like people that are more secular, they're like, who are you these days? But then putting that out there, they're starting to learn more about the faith, even if they grew up with it and, you know, were estranged with Catholicism. Now they're maybe seeing it in a different light, like you said, seeing it like more on fire from a different perspective. And so oftentimes I think that's also an invitation, and maybe that's not everybody's to be in the marketing world or to be on social media in that way, but I feel like it is mine, you know, and a calling for some people as well, especially in our totally like social media world that we live in.
Well, I think, and I would love to sit down with somebody that I was comfortable enough with having this conversation, or I guess who would be comfortable having this conversation with me. Just somebody who's coming from a totally secular background with just the cultural influence of what a Catholic is, right? Mm. And just ask them, like, what do you think Catholics do? Like, what is that? Because, I mean, from a cultural standpoint, we have, in pop culture, really mean nuns, right? That hit kids' hands with rulers. We have priests that are accused of sex offenses, right? Mm. We have really sad people, like, crying in front of saint statues. You know, I think about that, only the good die young, I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints. We have all of this imagery, and it's all really negative. And when you pull that back, that curtain, even a little bit, that's not what you see at all. When you actually see people who are practicing their faith and care about their faith, that's not how they behave, right? We're not crying while praying a rosary in Latin every day. I have absolutely cried while praying a rosary in Latin. But I don't do it every day.
Here's one I keep reading often now on like comments and stuff that, Catholics only care about the child, don't care about the child like once it's born. And I'm like, wait, what? Oh, yeah. Where did you get this information?
They're pro-birth. They're not pro-life.
I've heard that a lot. Whoever said that?
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, there's so many of these misconceptions that are out there. And I guess it feeds a narrative that that is attractive in our sort of nihilistic nothingness culture, unfortunately. But Yeah. All right, we're already almost out of time. That's crazy. How much time do we have left, Producer Ben?
We have 3 minutes, but we can keep going three off the minutes. Air and three just on YouTube and Spotify. Well,
let's make sure we get through our cards and then see where it goes.
Sounds good.
I'm down with cards. You guys want to do cards? Can we do cards? Cards
yeah, are sure. Cards.
You guys have never done cards. Nini's done cards.
No.
I love the cards.
The cards are fun. All right. So this is from the esteemed Loaded Questions Junior. It's a question for elementary school children game.
Loaded
that
question.
Is a lot of fun. So you pick your favorite, and we're going to go around, and you have to pick one of those and answer it. So here we go, Nini. And then, yes, ma'am. Producer Ben, you get one, as always.
Appreciate ya.
All right, let's see what we got. I'm going to start because I'm really excited. Let me see. If you could make one thing grow on trees, what would it be? That's my question. If I could make one thing grow on trees, what would it be? I'm going to go with garlic breadsticks. Hmm. I would grow a garlic breadstick tree in my backyard tomorrow. I like it. I've cut out a lot of bread from my life recently because, as a YouTuber commenter once said, I was, quote, one ham sandwich away from a heart attack. And it was a pretty good burn. It was pretty solid. Get some good zingers every now and then. And so my craving for garlic breadsticks has increased significantly since I've lost weight.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. You're up, Chewy. What you got?
If you could turn something pink, what would you choose?
This is it. This is why we use all those questions, Junior. Anything pink, Chewy.
I love that he's in an orange vest.
All Dodge Chargers on 75, maybe?
All Dodge Chargers?
All Dodge Chargers.
I thought he said, at first I thought you were going with Dutch children.
I thought it was a really interesting one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I would.
He has a vendetta.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Make all those Dutch kids pink. That'll show them.
The Dodge Chargers.
They probably are whenever it's not overcast. The big, the cars. The cars that guys drive 10,000 miles an hour and race in front of your minivan.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. It's good. Big Kyle?
Atlanta. This is, what would you want to be when you grow up?
I thought you already had iron lung.
I've been around.
He'll never grow up.
You don't have that much longer left. Yeah.
I'm looking at the other end. I guess another one is if you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
But it can't be that good of a superpower.
Yeah.
It can't be that good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to be one of those, like, you can talk to fish, but one fish, and you don't know what fish it is.
Oh,
it's that kind of superpower.
I guess I've heard the one, there's a debate of, would you go... I think it was, do you want to fly really fast, but 1 foot off the ground, or do you want to fly really slow, but like you can go
as high as, you
as
want.
Far up as you want? Yeah.
So which one do you pick? You can, one of those?
I think I would go low to the ground.
Yeah.
I
want
to, you'd probably run into stuff. Like the first time you'd use it, you'd probably splatter into
like
the
you
side
can't
of
perceive things faster.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
that's
one.
A problem. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can super speed, but you can't perceive things at all. Yeah.
So,
I like that.
Somebody brought that one up on the show a while back. You can run at the as fast as the flash, but only with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you just do short little jumps.
Yeah. You do real quick zips. All right. Nini.
What is something grown-ups do that kids likely don't have to?
I love this. All right.
Pay the bills.
Pay the bills. Ooh. It's true.
It's awful.
Being an adult. If you happen to be a 7-year-old listening to this, it's great for some things, right? I can buy a ticket to any movie I want to see at a movie theater. I can buy lotto tickets, can rent cars. But basically being an adult is just never being finished cleaning your kitchen. That's what I've learned from adulting for the past, 18 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Always. The kitchen is always dirty. I don't understand. I'm spoiled. My beautiful bride handles that for the most part. But we do have a very clean kitchen for 30 seconds every day when I get home from work. Yeah, I get it done. All right, guys. Well, we did not open with a prayer, but I would love to throw it out. If any of you guys would be willing to close us in a prayer, that would be wonderful because we are well over time. I feel like Chewy's a good prayer if nobody else wants to volunteer. He's got a good, the whole Chewy vibe is, I can pray.
Yeah. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thanks for having us this night here together. make us instruments through the words that we spoke this night, the conversations we shared, so we can inspire others into your kingdom. Amen.
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 The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Chewy did not disappoint. Thank you so much. And thank all of you guys for being here. Producer Ben, you're the man. Thank you.
You're the man.
Big thanks to everybody listening today. This has been a blast.
This has been Honest to God. What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.